How do you do?
Castles built on sand are intriguing, aren't they, but fragile and temporary. The first big wave that comes ashore undermines the effort, and the second one carries it away. As the man in this story learned, you can't build a house on sand. You need a solid foundation, a rock that doesn't move under you. Well, he found that rock and built his house when his heart and mind and life were unshackled. Bringing the good news through true life stories of real people, this is Unshackled, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Being homeless is not confined to any age or gender. Mothers with infants, young people with addictions, old men without hope, every kind of person passes through the doors of Pacific Garden Mission seeking refuge. May have so many needs, including the unspoken yearning for some way to fill the emptiness in their lives. Folks at the mission know the answer for that, and they speak the truth in love. Pacific Garden Mission has more than 121 years of experience in helping the homeless, providing food, clothing, shelter, medical and dental care, and all without charge. But these things don't fill the emptiness in the soul. Only God's love can do that. And God's love is what changes every person who receives new life at the old lighthouse. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 2509 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Hey, let's go to my house and get blasted.
Yeah, if I can just remember where I parked the car.
Hey, look, it's those guys that got thrown out of the bar.
Yeah, what are they hanging around for?
Hey. What is it? What is
my chest? The pain. Something's wrong, Kurt. Let me unzip my jacket and see. I'm bleeding bad. I've been stabbed.
One of those guys did it.
Got the blood. Oh, man, it's going everywhere. Hey, get me to the hospital.
I'll call an ambulance.
Please, somebody help me. Am I dying?
All right, hang in there, buddy. You're going to make it. Stay awake now. Don't close your eyes. You hear me?
Oh, it hurts so much.
We're looking for the anesthesiologist, okay? Then we can get to work on you.
I'm dying!
His blood pressure's dropping. You're going to have to open him up and stop the bleeding. We can't wait for the anesthetics. He's bleeding internally.
I can't stand it. Do something!
Hold on, buddy. Just hold on.
I'm dying!
The man in our story was in the wrong place at the wrong time when he was stabbed in the chest. Not for anything he had done or not done, but for the company he kept. He was not even 21, certainly not ready to die. The truth is, he hadn't really lived yet, and he'll tell us about that. This is the true story of Kevin Mazur right now on Unshackled.
Before I was born in 1965, my parents were already divorced. Mom brought me home from the hospital to the Grimm Housing Project in West Cleveland, where I grew up. We were a minority there, and I always felt scared, even with one older sister and two older brothers. Mom was mentally unstable, and from time to time she was hospitalized. Her mother lived right behind us in a high-rise, and she was the main source of stability in my life.
Look at the little cook, Kevin. Sure, and it's a toy to warm your heart, lad.
I didn't do what I should have. Now it's too late. I must take care of it. I must. Why doesn't somebody help me?
Did you take your medicine or did you hide it under your tongue?
Oh, yes, I did. I did. I swear I did. Oh, what'll I do?
You didn't. I can tell. You spit it out or else you've been drinking again.
No. I took it, Mom. I swear I did. Get away from me.
Peggy, why are you doing this to me? I'll have to be calling your doctor.
No, don't let me. I won't go anywhere. It's Christmas. I won't go. You can't make me.
Call the police, child. She's out of control again.
It's not my fault.
That Christmas Eve when I was 7, the police came and took Mom away, screaming in handcuffs. As the years passed, her visits to the mental hospital came more often and lasted longer. It was extremely difficult for us to visit Mom, locked up like a criminal. Except for my aunt and my grandmother, we might have ended up in foster homes. When I stayed with my grandmother, I could look out her window on the 15th floor and see the place where Dad worked across the street.
Grandma, look. I can see my dad down there. Maybe he'll come up here and get me.
More likely he's going across the street to that beer garden, the bum.
Yeah, that's where he's going, all right.
Him and his booze.
Well, maybe when he leaves there, he'll come up and get me. He'll take me with him on his truck route.
Not likely, child. All he cares about is his drinking. Come on in the kitchen and I'll get you a graham cracker.
Well, I want to stay here and watch. I can see his car.
Don't worry. You'll be there for hours, lad. Come on.
Grandma, I love you.
You're a dear child, Kevin. Very dear. I love you too, lad.
How come my dad doesn't love me?
At an early age, I used to think if I just had a dad, everything would be all right. But he rarely came to see me, and I would watch with a terrible ache in my heart as his car drove out of sight, going home to his new family. My mom's boyfriend would stay with us, but he would often become enraged and beat her. I was really lonely after my older brothers went to live with Dad. When my sister was 18, she left home, leaving me more insecure and alone with Mother. I was 10 when a friend and I were caught shoplifting. The security guard called Mother, who came and got me.
Kevin, what made you do something like that?
I don't know, Mom. I'm sorry.
Stealing is wrong, son.
I'll never do it again. I promise.
What did you take?
A cap gun and some play money.
Oh, Kevin, that's junk. You could end up in jail for taking junk.
I know. The guard already told us that. Please, don't tell anyone what I did.
I won't.
You promise?
Yes, I promise. But you apologize to them before we go and tell them you won't ever do that again.
That scary incident ended my career as a thief because I didn't want to go to jail. I was deeply insecure, living in a terrible neighborhood where I often had to fight for survival. Sometimes I'd wake up at night and Mother would be out drinking with her boyfriend. At 13, I began to smoke and drink and cuss just like the other kids I knew. But I dreamed of being a great football player, so I didn't do drugs. When I was in 9th grade... Mom could no longer take care of herself and went into a nursing home. She remained there until she died. I went to live with Dad.
Hey! Kevin! Get up and clean up this mess.
Huh?
Come on, get up, you lazy good-for-nothing.
Okay, okay, I'm up.
Well, why didn't you clean it up before you went to bed?
I wasn't the only one who was drinking last night.
Hey, don't talk back to me. You're a user, that's all. You use people and you manipulate them.
Anything else?
Don't be smart with me. Spend all your time lifting weights. Well, let's see you carry your own weight for a change.
I do as much as anybody else around here.
You don't do nothing. You don't even study. You're just another mouth to feed. Think you can sit around and wait for the pro football teams to call? Well, it ain't gonna happen.
I've had offers. I even had my picture on the front cover of the sports page.
So you think you're somebody. You won't amount to a hill of beans. Look, pal, when you turn 18, your bags are packed and you're on the street.
I felt very unwelcome there. Dad drank hard, so I figured that was my fate, too. We often got drunk together, but afterward, we fought. After several years, the tension was so bad, I went to live with my sister, Marge, and her husband. She was my best friend.
I'm sorry it didn't work out with Dad, Kevin.
He seems to hate me.
No.
It's just that he never forgave his stepfather. And all that bitterness keeps coming out.
He never said one good word to me while I was there. Oh, when he was drinking, he was okay. But sober, man, he was mean. Told me I'd never amount to anything.
Don't you believe that, Kevin?
And he has a lot of nerve bad-mouthing me after the way he abandoned us.
Don't become bitter like him. Try to forgive.
Never. Oh, all those years I wanted a dad so bad. I really thought that was the answer. But my friend Kurt has a dad, and they have big problems, too.
Yeah. I don't know what the answer is.
A guy in study hall thinks religion is the answer. He's always talking about God.
God helps him who helps himself. You work hard, and you'll get a football scholarship.
I'm not big enough, Marge. And my grades aren't good enough, either.
You gotta keep trying.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to end up like those bums on Skid Row. For a while, I looked to my coaches as father figures, but one of them had a drinking problem, too. I graduated from high school, but my football dreams came to nothing. I bounced from one job to another, committed only to drinking.
Oh. Oh, man.
My head hurts.
Are we at your house? Open your eyes, dummy.
Sometimes I wake up in the car, and I have no idea where I am or how I got there. One time the car was still idling.
You're too much, Kevin.
My hands hurt. We must have been in a fight last night.
Yep, it sure was a home dinger.
This Sunday?
I think so. Yeah. We went to the beach yesterday, remember? That weird guy was walking around in a suit.
Oh, yeah, that missionary.
I don't know, is that what he was?
Yeah, sort of. You have to admire a guy who would walk around on the beach wearing a suit with a Bible in his hand. Takes commitment.
You mean he should be committed?
You guys wandered off and hardly anybody would talk to him, but I did. He was all right.
Man, I'm thirsty. Hey, you want a drink?
Nah. I gotta clean up my act.
Not me. I'm just gonna get some more sleep.
I didn't tell my friends, but I had prayed on the beach with that man, asking God to forgive my sins. Closed my eyes and prayed, right there in front of everybody. But I wasn't serious. I wasn't ready to settle down, and my life didn't change. I joined the Naval Reserves, hoping the discipline would help to clean up my act and provide college tuition. I managed to get through training without booze and thought I had my drinking under control. But as soon as I returned home, it was business as usual.
Hey, somebody get a bar rag. Kevin spilled beer all over the table.
What can I say? It runs in my family.
What, Dean and F for being drunk?
Both.
Hey, it's hard to believe you didn't drink at all when you were training. I mean, how'd you do it?
Well, I attended the church services on base. I prayed that God would help me stay sober. You did.
I don't understand it, Kevin. I mean, if it was that important to finish, how come you never go in for drill weekends anymore?
Because you guys keep me up too late and then I sleep in. Maybe someday I'll settle down, but not yet. I couldn't seem to get my life under control. I fumbled my attempt at college as well as the Naval Reserves. Sometimes I'd come in late at night feeling guilty about the things I'd done and ask God to forgive me. But I wasn't ready to settle down. I was having too much fun. I didn't know that my fun was leading to disaster.
And we'll hear more about that in just a moment. In a way, everyone who comes to Pacific Garden Mission is a visitor, whether they're homeless and seeking shelter or merely curious about how we help those in need. Friend or friendless, all are welcome. If you've never been to the old lighthouse at 646 South State Street, we hope you'll visit us the next time you're in the neighborhood. We're close to public transportation and within walking distance of downtown Chicago. And we'd love to give you a guided tour of all the facilities, including the men and women's divisions, and explain how the various ministries here reach out to a dying world. Come on a Saturday afternoon, and as part of the audience, you can see how we produce Unshackled, the longest-running radio drama in the history of broadcasting. And afterwards, you're invited to stay for supper and the evening praise and testimony service. You'll leave with a renewed joy in the Lord and some wonderful memories. And there's no charge, and you don't need to make reservations unless you're bringing a large crowd and plan to stay for supper. For more information, write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. And please include your address.
I was working at a big discount store then, and one of the guys was always talking about Jesus. So did the manager. I finally went to church with my boss and his wife, and I thought everyone was brainwashed to be so excited about God. People in the band testified about this Jesus they knew personally. I could feel the love flowing from everyone, and I felt dirty by comparison. The second or third time I went, the pastor began to make sense.
Friends, don't ever think you can make yourself good enough for God. Hear what God says about your good works in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Don't be fooled, my friend. The wages of sin is death. Mm-hmm. Eternal separation from God, utter darkness in hell. Yeah. You cannot reach the kingdom of heaven on your own merits. Oh, yeah. But God is not willing that any should perish. That's why he sent Jesus to die on Calvary's cross. My friend, you'll never find a greater love than that. Amen. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 21 and 22. When you repent of your sin and put your faith in his death and his resurrection, then God forgives your sin. But until you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Heaven and hell hang in the balance of your decision to choose or reject Christ Jesus as Lord of your life.
That day I said the sinner's prayer, but I added a little twist at the end. I said, God, if this is real, show me a sign. I didn't know that the Bible says, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. The following week, as I left the bar, I was stabbed in the chest. The knife pierced my liver, and the pain was excruciating. I knew I was dying, but never once did I think about that prayer. A few days later, my brother came to see me.
That was a close call, Kevin. He could have died.
Oh, yeah. I asked a couple of strangers to give me a ride to the hospital, and they didn't want to get involved. Can you believe that? Of course, I was covered with blood. They brought me here anyway, but I passed out before we arrived.
Marge said that they had to operate without anesthetic just to stop the internal bleeding.
Yeah. Oh, the pain was unbelievable. My gums still hurt.
Your gums?
From clenching my teeth.
Hey, did you know the guys who stabbed you?
No, they got in a fight with a guy I was with, and the bouncer threw him out, but I wasn't involved.
Man, bad luck.
Listen, I went to church last week with my boss and prayed the sinner's prayer. Afterwards, I said, God, if this is real, show me a sign. Maybe this whole thing was a sign from God. He spared my life. Isn't that something?
So what, are you going to become some kind of fanatic now?
His comment was enough to turn me away from God, and as soon as I regained my strength, I went right back to the nightclubs, looking for ways to satisfy my hunger and thirst. I didn't read the Bible and didn't know that Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. A year later, I met Denise and fell in love. She was funny and smart, and we were inseparable. 6 months later, she was pregnant.
I told my family today.
And how did they take it?
Not very well.
Yeah, my family wasn't too thrilled either.
Somebody suggested I get an abortion, but I don't want to do that.
Me neither. That's murder.
Oh, what are we going to do, Kevin? I'm not sure I'm ready for marriage.
Why don't we try living together for a while?
All right. Maybe that's the way to go.
I need to find a better job so I can support her, Steve. Life just went into high gear. Psalm 127, verse 1 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." We didn't know that when we started living together. Her dad helped me get a job at the steel mill where he worked, and we were off to a rocky start even after our daughter was born.
Oh, that's just great, Kevin. Don't think I'm going to clean that up.
I don't care if you do or not. That's what I think about you and our relationship. Oh. It's broken, and nobody can fix it.
Oh, you can just forget about getting married.
Oh, you think I'd marry you? Be the biggest mistake I ever made.
Oh, you're right. So much for wedding invitations. There isn't going to be a wedding. I'm getting out of here.
Fine. You're the most selfish person I've ever known.
Oh, you ever think about us drinking with your buddy?
By the grace of God, we survived those hate-filled, screaming sessions, fist fights, broken windows, and dreams. We finally married 6 months after our daughter was born. That baby was the first person I ever loved unconditionally. And more than anything, she helped to soften my heart. But my wife was right. I was self-centered and miserable, a workaholic. I poured myself into my job as a lab technician, where I became friends with one of the chemical salesmen.
Hello, Kevin. Did my products do the job for you?
Yeah, sure it did. I got to speak in front of all the managers and the president of the company.
Oh, great. I'm glad to hear that.
I've been working 10 and 12-hour days. We have a major audit coming up. And if I can really impress these guys, maybe I'll get a promotion and a raise.
You know, there's more to life than work, Kevin.
Yeah, but I have to work hard if I'm going to succeed.
The Lord will make a way for you. Mark chapter 8, verse 36 warns, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?"
Well, you don't think I should try to get ahead?
I think you should put Christ first.
Oh, I know about Christ. I believe in him.
You need to receive him into your heart and not just know about him. You need to be born again.
Well, I thought I was, Dick. Yeah. I've prayed the sinner's prayer.
Is there any fruit in your life? Oh, Jesus said, "By their fruit you will know them."
Well, I could do a lot better.
Listen, Jesus loves you, brother. He died for you. He alone can help you live for him.
I listened, but I still wasn't ready to give up my alcohol. Besides, I worked hard, and I thought I'd earned the right to drink with the guys. By March of 1990, my wife was expecting our second child, and I was at work one day when Dick called me.
Kevin, a couple of the managers have been talking to me about you. They blame you for some of our quality control problems, and they aren't sure what to do with you.
You're kidding. They'd never said anything to my face.
I just wanted to let you know what's going on behind the scenes.
Man, what am I going to do?
Jesus will help you, brother. Ask Christ to come into your heart and this time surrender completely.
All right. I'm ready.
Okay, I want you to get down on your knees, Kevin, and pray with me.
I did as he said and prayed, asking Jesus to forgive my sins and come into my heart. Throughout the day, the devil tried to steal the seed that was sown, and I began to doubt and rationalize my need to obey. While I was putting my daughter to bed, the Lord spoke to my heart. "This could be your last call," and I got on my knees again. Lord Jesus, please forgive me for doubting. I know this is the last call you're going to make, and I accept, Lord. I've been putting you off for years, hanging on to my drinking and sin. I'm ashamed, Lord. I don't want to do that anymore. I repent my sins. Take it all away. The alcohol and the evil. Come into my heart, Lord, and save me. I want to be born again. I'll never reject you again, Lord, no matter who doesn't join me.
Did she fall asleep okay?
I sure did. Dee, while I was tucking her in the crib, the Lord spoke to my heart. I felt like it was the last chance for my salvation, that he wouldn't come back again. So I got down on my knees and gave my life to him.
You're kidding.
I couldn't be more serious. This time was different. Something really changed in me.
Yeah, well, we'll see how long this is going to last. I didn't marry a Bible thumper.
Dee, I love you, and I will give my life to protect you, but I will not go to hell for you or anybody else in this world. I'm going to live for Christ from now on.
I found a good church that taught me God's word, and I began listening to Christian radio where I heard Unshackled at night on the job. I began to understand God's precious word. 6 months later, my wife gave her life to Christ. God promises to restore the years the locust has eaten, and he did that for us. He took a marriage that was violent and taught us to forgive one another, to sit down and study his word together. Look at this. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I tried so hard to find what only Jesus could provide.
I am so challenged by Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
I feel like he's talking straight at me.
He's talking to everybody, Kevin.
I know, but it sure fits me. All those years, I thought a dad was the answer to my emptiness. Then I thought football would make me happy, or friends, or alcohol. But even if I had it all, I'd be empty. Only God can give real peace.
Oh, he sure made a difference in our lives.
And someday, he's going to reach the rest of my family.
Now, I really admire you for not getting discouraged, even when they make fun of your faith.
They just don't realize what Christ has done for us. God became a man to pay the penalty for sin so we could have eternal life. Huh, what a savior. So that's my story of a savior who gave us new life. God has also given us 3 daughters and a son. I still work at the steel mill where I share the gospel with co-workers. My wife homeschools and I take evening Bible courses so I can coach young people in sports and tell them about Jesus, the one who died to set us free.
Friend, we hope Kevin's testimony has enriched your life. What God has done for him, he'll do for you. Whatever the need, the pain, or the failure, Jesus Christ is there for you and will make you whole again. Invite him into your heart and life today. If you need help in this crucial decision, you're invited to get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Email can be sent to unshackled@pgm.org. Help spread the good news by telling your friends about this program and let the manager of this station know that these testimonies brighten your day. Let us hear from you, too, a card, a letter, even an email message to say, keep producing Unshackled. This is program number 2509. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Now, we know you're busy, but please write soon. We do look forward to hearing from you. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. And visit our website, www.unshackled.org. Day or night, you may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.